Welcome to season one of the Secret World of Events, where real event planners and the UK's top suppliers share their tips and tricks for surviving and thriving in this one-of-a-kind industry. Hosted by me, Gavin Alexander, I'm the creative director at the award-winning team that is Gabsy Media. Each episode will have a special guest from the UK's leading event specialists, and in turn, they've invited some event friends to join in the chat. You'll hear guests share their secrets on how to create a successful event, the do's and do nots of organising parties, the client experience, finding creativity and thinking outside the box. And you may even hear some crazy stories along the way. Great to have you here.
I had decided I wanted to get into events.
Don't rush into anything.
Left university and pretty much went straight into it.
It's just got to happen. So do what you need to make it happen.
I've never been one to follow rules.
We've spent a lot of time together, haven't
yes,
we?
Yes, we have.
Always keeping up with trends and fads.
How do you manage that? The expectations versus the reality of budgeting?
It's always insightful to get a gauge as to what their reference point is with budget.
Pre-COVID, I didn't know what Zoom was.
You know, everything is done to a higher level.
That detail Jeremy and the band and the guys will go into, by definition, makes our life easier.
There's levels and levels, and that comes in the detail. Welcome to this episode of The Secret World of Events, a dream event. And today I'm joined by a superstar of the events industry, Matthew Henning, who must be one of the most experienced party planners on the planet, with a career spanning 35 years in the luxury event world. Now, Matthew has chosen a very special guest to bring along, the world-renowned Simon Lysett, who in his own right is nothing short of floristry royalty, a star of radio, television, and an author of two books, and he has a unique perspective on creative events. Great to have you here.
Lovely to be here, Gav. Thank you for inviting us.
Simon.
Yes, thank you, Matthew, for inviting me along.
You're Matthew's chosen one.
How exciting. It's only because the others weren't available.
I couldn't possibly do it without you, Simon. Very old, dear friend of mine.
Now, Matthew, talking of old, dear friends, for full disclosure, you and I go back a very, very long way, don't we?
We certainly do, Gav.
Look at that, Matt.
Wow.
That's my parents' back garden. By the way, they still live there. 109 Portland Crescent, if you want to go and visit them.
Yep. Have they landscaped the garden since?
Look at that beauty. That's me at the front there, and that's you sitting next to me, the birthday boy.
Great.
That is my fourth birthday party, 1974.
All I can say is style has never left me.
Orange shirt. And a mullet.
And unfortunately, Gavsy, your hair has left you.
I know, completely. Well, moving on from that, we played a little bit of football.
I love this.
Look at that. That's me on the left with my father behind me. Yeah. And Matthew, that's you, I believe,
the goalkeeper.
In the goalkeeper's kit.
The tallest goalkeeper ever.
I know. No wonder we leak so many goals.
I know, that photograph, sorry, that going back to that photograph, if you don't mind, has very special memories.
It does,
because of Gary.
Yeah, who's behind you.
Who was behind me. Yes. Who I was extremely fond of.
Yeah.
Who was taken from us.
Yeah,
passed
away in a car accident when he was 18.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Lovely, lovely man.
Moving on to our 1985, Matthew.
Wow.
My dad's in the picture again. He made it in. And there you are, outfield.
The reason being, I broke my arm playing in goal once and immediately came out and played as a striker and scored a goal.
You were there.
And Brian Abraham.
That's right.
Never, ever played me in goal again.
There we go. Fast forwarding on a few years.
Wow.
Where did it start for you, Matthew, the world of events?
It started actually working in a youth club. When I was 10, 11 years old, I wanted to have this fantasy of being a DJ. And so I started working for the Thunder Flash Road Show.
I remember it well.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And
do you remember the name of the people that did it with us?
No.
I do. Andrew Sinclair. And Max Siegel.
I don't remember Max, but I remember Andrew and I remember his face. But
yeah.
I don't remember his, I don't remember them.
Mobile discos were all the rage, weren't they?
They were. And so I was involved with that for a couple of years, probably a bit older than 11, actually, probably more like 13 years old. And then I got involved with a group of boys who introduced me to the world of Banana Split.
That's correct.
And I worked for Banana Split really on a full-time basis from about 16 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been 1985.
85, yeah. Shh, don't tell everyone.
Don't tell everyone. Now, Matthew, whilst I don't have a picture of you at Banana Split in 1985, funnily enough, I have a picture of me in 1985 as a Banana Split. Look, in a full tuxedo with, look at that. Remember those old rigs?
I remember them very fondly.
Yeah.
How heavy they were.
They were incredibly heavy, weren't they?
And Julian God bless him, did make us slap those units around.
Didn't he?
And particularly at the Mayfair Hotel was one that we all hated.
Yeah. There was one in Essex with the lift. What was the one in Essex at the top of the tower that was a horrendous, horrendous game?
As I was in charge of allocating the events to you, I never probably...
You always made sure I got the shit jobs.
You went to the shit ones and I did the proper ones.
So life for you started pretty much at Banana Split.
Correct. Yeah. I worked there from, as I say, I was about 1985. I tried to work in a bank at 16. I was asked to leave after 2 months of basically not turning up. And then I did nothing else. That's all I've ever done.
And for you, Simon, floristry, flowers?
I've always wanted to be working with flowers since the age of seven. I was born and brought up in Warwick, where my parents live, and I went to a local flower show at the age of seven and just immediately was mesmerized by it. And went home and created a marquee with a sheet over the washing line, you know, the old traditional way, and set up my own flower show. And it was all I ever wanted to do ever since then. And I aged 14, I did a wedding for friends of my parents. Norma, who lived next door but two to my parents, used to teach floristry, City and Guild. So I would go and did an apprenticeship from the age of seven onwards, sitting in her garage, helping her in inverted commas and learning to create. And I've never, ever had any formal training, but it's something that intrinsically I love doing and I'm able to do. And virtually everybody that works with me has never had any formal training either.
It's just a hands-on love of the job. And
yes. And also, if you don't know what the rules are, you're never afraid to break them. It makes it so much easier to be innovative.
I think, Matthew, you live by those sort of ideas, don't you? If you don't know what the rules are.
I've never been one to follow rules.
No.
I'm just not that way inclined. Going back to when I was at school, I just never could deal with authority.
I mean, so out of all of the planners that we all sort of know and love, you know, around the sort of whole community, you are vastly experienced. I mean, dare I say it, probably one of the most experienced, as in my intro sequence said, on the planet. There can't be many people who've done it longer than you.
I doubt it at this point in my life. I think that, you know, I've been working in this industry for 37 years and I had an incredible upbringing in it. I was very fortunate to work for Banana Split at the time and had a lot of responsibility on my shoulders. Because Julian was working on other projects. And so I was left to help run his London business. And I formed my own company in 1998. And it has just been a whirlwind since then.
What becomes the inflection point where you decide to sort of go it alone?
That's a very big word.
Sorry.
Inflection point is a good word. So there was a lot of personal reasons why I went alone, when I went on my own, which shall remain personal.
Absolutely.
And
it's only called The Secret World of Events. No need to reveal any secrets.
No need for that. It wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah.
It was really an eye-opening experience to go on my own. I never thought that the level of success would happen so quickly. I was very, very fortunate. And it's been highly, highly enjoyable, really, ever since.
Now, I see the two of you boys, you work together an enormous amount. And over the years, we've all worked together. I thought I'd bring up some pictures to sort of, you know, show.
I wish I'd known you were showing pictures because I saw an amazing picture of Simon and I back in...
I've had such awful 13
years ago. And honestly,
shocking
Simon,
haircuts.
You were so weird looking, honestly.
That's quite polite for you to say weird, actually.
Yeah, I'm weird. I mean, I was going to say some other words, but I refuse. My wife told me to behave.
Simon and Matthew, talk me through this. This was a party we all did together a few years ago at Old Billingsgate, wasn't it?
Joyous Old Billingsgate, which is quite a challenging venue to make feel intimate, soft and gentle. And it was for a bat mitzvah with an under-the-sea theme.
And how did you get to an under-the-sea theme for a bat mitzvah? Where does the creativity come from that?
So Simon.
You're gone.
That was directed... A lot of these themes are actually directed by the character of the... in particular with bar or bat mitzvahs, for the character of the child. And something that they may have an interest in. I don't remember to hand what that was with this young lady, but certainly that's something that the client would have indicated to
it
us.
I seem to remember it came quite strongly from the client. It's one of the first questions I will always ask anyone when I'm talking to them about, in particular, a bar or bat mitzvah or a sweet 16 party, is tell me about your child. Tell me what their bedroom looks like.
Yeah,
tell me what they wear.
She could have said,
where would
she
they...
loves the Little Mermaid.
She didn't. It was something, it was much more than that. But it's, I always try and find out, okay, tell me, where would they go shopping? Where would they, if you gave them 500 quid and told them three of their mates could go off and enjoy the day, where would they go? That's the interesting thing, because you find out a bit about the child. And quite often they'll say the parent will say a throwaway line that is the most salient in when you then dig deep and find out what makes that child tick. Because I don't want to do a bar or bat mitzvah that's gorgeous and swanky for the parents. I want to do it that has an essence of the child involved.
Yeah.
What I love most working about both of you is that I feel like when we all come together to do a party, the levels of creativity that come into this across the board really do upscale things. And Simon, it's not usually all about flowers, because even looking at these images, the props you have, use of them within the flowers.
I think we are a bit unusual in as far as we are very happy to work with all sorts of other materials. We love having bespoke things created that nobody's got. And we love working with other than flowers. I mean, we're very happy to do parties that don't involve a single stick or stem of flower or foliage. And it's just as satisfying for us.
Yeah, I remember an event, which I don't know if you've got pictures of, Gav, that one of the first events I ever worked with Simon on was Harry Potter.
But also that's where I'm so dependent on Matthew, on the production company, on you, because I need what I create to look like what I create. And I get really annoyed when I walk into a room and someone's put strange filters on the lights and a pin spot. God. So suddenly my flowers are brown instead of white. And it's, and clients will say to me, will you have a conversation? Will I have a conversation? I'm so bloody bossy. Of course I will. I'm expensive. My flowers are gorgeous. And I want them to look the best they possibly can be.
Yeah. I'm in love with that photo.
That's great.
It's one of my, I have got a thousand. And by the way, thank you to Blake Ezra for these photographs, because Blake does a great job. And when I look through the jobs we've done and the photography, never mind the video, I haven't bothered with our own stuff, but it's, it just stands off the page, doesn't it, in terms of
capturing images of events is very, very challenging, because you're trying to hone in. You almost want the sort of the guest's eye view from the table, but you also want the vast scale and detail of all of it.
One of my favourites, Strictly Charlotte.
We love that.
Yeah, gorgeous.
I mean, this started off, Matthew, with you and I in a meeting, and she loved Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
And the whole evening was turned into an episode of
brilliant.
Strictly Come Dancing, with spoof videos, spoof judging, ballroom dancing.
I have to say, on that event, Gav, there was a lot of your content was really made that party. That was it was great. It's a great looking event. I mean, from my perspective, I'm very lucky.
Wasn't it?
That's at Claridge's. That's my favorite venue in London, just because of the intimacy in the room for the number that it can hold. It doesn't matter how you set that room up, it just feels amazing every time. I love that event because of the look, the aesthetic, the work that you did, the work that Simon created was fabulous on that night. And the client, it also helps, it's very, very important with clients, and particularly the client of that party. It's very important that they are up for it.
Absolutely.
You know, and they have a sense of fun. They enjoy themselves. They like to party. They like to entertain their guests. They want people to feel involved. And that is a huge, huge, huge moment that makes these events really actually quite easy to do.
Another one that we shared in was
Rock and Roll at the Roundhouse.
At the Roundhouse. And
I love that.
Bearing in mind, we see parties week in, week out, across many different planners. And yet the images I pull up here are amongst my absolute favourites. Joey's party at the Roundhouse was, for me, another level of something else.
But that's where I'm really lucky, because Matthew pimps me out to his clients to find someone that's got a fabulous budget and utter faith and confidence in Matthew. Mm. And therefore, they have faith and confidence in whoever Matthew puts before them. Not that many people would let you even think about creating some of the things that we instigate.
No.
And to suggest that you're going to fill the Roundhouse with arrangements that involve smashed television screens, is and huge ugly lumps of truss in the middle of the table, and then you're going to adorn them with thousands of red roses. It's just such a great, great challenge.
One of the things that I always find, is, again, with Simon, is it's not just about flowers. I mean, flowers on that job in particular play a secondary element to the decor of what he's achieved. And I think that is something that is unique with Simon. I mean, I'm always asked for different ideas, and clients are asking me, who do I use? What florist should we go to? And it very much depends. If you want a really amazing themed event with beautiful flowers, then really Simon is at the top of the game.
I think Simon also nailed it earlier when he said it's about the trust. Mm. You know, clients have to trust you.
Totally.
I would probably say in your line of work, Matthew, having that relationship with your client where they know just to roll with you, because that's why they brought you in on the job.
Yeah, very much so. I think that for me, it's all about that personal relationship. I tend to have very privileged with the clients that we work with, and the time I spend with them gives them that trust and that feel that they can rely on what we're saying and will also produce it on the day.
Now, you're very blessed. You're very much at the very top tier of the event world. You've produced events all over the world now.
I have.
When you sit down initially with a client, do you have to ascertain budget from the outset to know where you are, or does that provide difficulties sort of further down the line if you didn't? Do you need to know where you are?
I certainly have made that mistake in the past where I haven't established the budget beforehand, and it causes an issue along the way sometimes. But generally, the client calling me into helping them is of a certain level, if that's the right way to call it. And we know the gauge what it's going to be. I'm very upfront with what things cost, and I'm very quick to give them preliminary figures, so we're all on the same page. I do tend to ask, sometimes I know the level of the client will be a certain higher element, if that's so to speak. And if that's the case, I will then go to them beforehand and say, listen, are we on
before
the same
we take
page?
Before we start,
I go any
this
further
journey,
here, this is where we're at. Is this going to be on the same page?
Because I'm sort of in and surrounded by the events industry, some people often ask me, and I have absolutely zero clue. They say to me, Gavin, how much does a wedding cost these days?
A lot.
I mean, it's definitely, at the level we're talking about, it's definitely a lot of money. But let me just ask this question. A 200-person wedding at the Dorchester these days, a nice level, what does that cost, Matthew?
It's going to cost you, in my
no
view,
less than.
No less than. No, definitely no less than six figures. Starting six figures.
I would say that's cheap.
Yeah, but it's not 100 grand.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I think you also have to qualify that, because people listening will think, that's a lot of money. Yeah. You could buy a house for that in parts of Britain. And at the moment we're talking, you know, it's tough out there for a lot of people. We've worked 30 years to get to this position, to be given these budgets.
Yeah.
And also, it's not a huge amount of money in the back of Matthew's pocket and the rest of it goes on a nice wedding. Every single element of everything that's done at the level of events we work at is so labour intensive and so detail driven that it is all incredibly expensive. So actually, I find that the margins diminish as the budgets increase because of the level that is expected as a result of what that investment is from your client.
I think that's the most qualified answer I've heard on that.
I think it's very important to establish that the money that you might spend on a wedding of, say, 200 people at the Dorchester, which in my view, whether you hire the room and have a kosher caterer come in or not, would be somewhere in the 200,000 mark, is, as Simon said, there's so many costs involved. I mean, the catering, the drinks.
Or even if you just started with the catering at 200
decor,
people, you know you're at a figure.
It's literally the tables, chairs and cloths before you give anybody a drink or make the room look pretty.
Yeah. It is such an expensive industry and the money does not go into our pockets. It's a really, obviously we make a living, but it's a very highly intensive cost experience.
I sometimes wonder if all of us were lawyers and we started a clock.
Oh my God.
The moment and the phone calls and the meetings and the thinking behind, if we had to add up the hours prior to any event date, what the actual true figure would be.
I don't think it would work.
Well, I do certainly think that we would have to reappraise the way we work. But the reason I continue to do what I love is the fact that every single day, people like Matthew bring clients to me that have incredible ideas and give me amazing opportunities. I would really, really miss that.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one that brought you clients. I'm a bit disappointed that
people like you.
There are people like me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've created some incredible events. I know that some of these, Simon, will include you and some of them won't. These are just a little highlights reel that that we had for Matthew a little while back, just sort of showcasing some of the sort of venues. I mean, that we all remember that job, don't we, Simon?
Oh, for many reasons.
For many reasons, and mainly because of the wind.
Yes.
On a Saturday. But that's a really interesting point. Everybody knows that events run, and hopefully everybody thinks it runs smoothly. But let's just take, for example, that evening in Greece, where out of everybody's control, the wind got up on an outdoor venue. Mm-hmm. But Matthew, you remained calm as I've ever seen anybody. Simon was up ladders, securing things. People don't realize that what goes on behind the scenes of these events is probably more important than the actual running of them on the evening. Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things I've learned is there's no point panicking. There's just absolutely zero point. You're not going to achieve anything. And all it does, if I panic, everyone else is going to panic. Everyone's going to be in a bad mood. Everyone's going to hate me. The clients are going to get a bad vibe. It's just not worth panicking. I just know there's always a solution to whatever occurs at these events. And I think that on that particular occasion, it was completely... No one ever thought that you'd ever get that kind of weather in the middle of southern Greece. It was just unbelievable.
But also, I think one of the things is that we're there to take the panic. That is our role, is to take that pressure and that panic. Even if I can't get my flares for whatever reason, because the truck didn't turn up to get on the right ferry, that's not for me to share with my client until the very 11th hour.
Event anxiety is a real thing, though, isn't it? I think we all suffer from it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just something that I've lived with all my life, all my working life is, you know, but thank God for Citalopram.
Also, if we didn't have events anxiety, we wouldn't create the finish to the exact events, because we really do mind. And sometimes clients can have driven you mad about things.
No.
And sometimes clients can actually slightly put your back up and you're doing the job and you can't wait to get it over and done with. That's very rare, but occasionally it happens. However, I still want that job to be the best it can be, because it's my advert for the next bit of work I'm going to get.
No, absolutely. Matthew, for you, is there a favourite event?
No. That would be unfair.
Well, okay. Is there an event you've really thoroughly enjoyed then? I mean, there's events I've enjoyed for very, very many different reasons. Doesn't mean to say that
are moments in events that I'm very, very, very proud of. Really proud. The problem for me, and one of my clients once said this to me, was just to try and take 5 minutes before an event starts, just to say, you know, look what we've achieved. But it just never seems to have. I never seem to have that moment that we can do that. There are moments that are amazing, and I look back at things and I think, wow, you know, that was amazing. But I'm like, it's all down to clients, and you know what they're prepared to put into these things is just unbelievable sometimes.
This is one of my favorite jobs for you.
Yeah, this was an incredible event. There was some
Isabel and Josh's wedding at Kinross House in Scotland. Simon, that was another one you were on.
Yeah. And what an amazing venue. I mean, that's the thing that I think one of my happiest reflections and memories is of the recces that we go on.
Oh, I love
that. Because the pressure's not on. Generally, it's exciting. It's a new place that we're looking at. And at that point, you can have a bit of fun and relax and enjoy. And you're also starting to explore the options and possibilities. That's my biggest joy, is going on recces.
When I think of that party, you know what? One image comes into my mind. Actually, it's further on in this trailer. But during this evening, you created an Elro-style party.
Yeah. Mm.
I've never seen anything like it at a wedding. And whilst I've been to many weddings and been to some unbelievable events, for me, that moment when I was standing at the back of the room watching it all come together and the smoke cannons were going off,
the confetti.
Yeah. And hold on a second, and then in comes these giant oversized
puppets
was pretty incredible and imaginative.
That's also a little bit, I mean, I can't take all the credit, because that's very much client led with that, because that was something they'd seen and they wanted to recreate.
Yeah.
But we are able to do that. We can you know, with the team that I've that I work with, that's a fabulous jacket. I mean, what an incredible jacket. But the you know, the team that I work with have had lots of experiences.
I remember this. They were both crying on the aisle.
Couldn't take it.
It was gorgeous.
It was an amazing moment. I mean, the whole thing of that event was very special. That was only a few months in planning as well. That was sort of started after the first family wedding, and then we were into that. It was really 9 months, I think.
Is there a preference to you between bar and bat mitzvahs and weddings or corporate?
Well, I'd certainly, no, there's no preference. I couldn't care less. I always say I'm a bit of a prostitute to a party. I'll go to anything. It really, really not a problem.
Really not a problem?
No, no, no. I mean, I don't mind doing anything. I think the weddings are a little bit more fun because it's not having to worry about children as much. So you get to play with fun ideas like the Ale Row experience or a fantastic cabaret or something that's really, you know.
I mean, that room.
I mean, that was amazing.
That room. When everybody walked into that room, Simon, and saw what you'd created in there.
But also that was a very unique setup, wasn't it? Do you remember that?
With
the dance floor, everyone sitting around the dance floor. And again, you know, it was really a fantastic party. It went until very, very late. I remember that.
It was like 4 a.m, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I remember standing there and literally going 4:00 a.m, the host went to bed and I left and went straight to the airport.
Yeah.
It was literally that, you know, my flight was 6:00 a.m. I just packed my bag and went.
Yeah, it was a stunning weekend. Of course, you had a festival before that as well.
Saturday, we had a festival party, which was, again, only, you know, again, it was unique to certain clients.
Yeah.
They have a certain, you know, certain, not way, is that the right thing to say about them? They're just that they want to party. They want to really enjoy themselves. They're spending a lot of money, so they want to make the most of it. And
yeah.
That's great. I mean, we are very lucky with this kind of thing where we have clients that will give us the opportunity to do amazing work for them.
I look back at work and I'm looking back at this and I'm thinking how proud I am that we produced this film for your client, because it's the canvas you give us, the pair of you, that bring this to life as a backdrop that just makes it look. I mean, look at that. It is pretty sensational, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And
but
by the way,
also the lens that's within your eye and your team's eye captures what I'm always thrilled about is when I get images through or you'll kindly send me a snippet of a film that you've done and you've caught all the gorgeous bits that were blood, sweat and tears for Matthew and I to sort out, organise and actually make happen. But you catch them, which is what makes it so special that we all...
Here's this. Elroy,
look at that.
Amazing, look at this.
I was actually at that party as well.
You were?
No, you were a guest.
I was.
You were a guest.
I actually was seen on the dance floor. My husband loves to dance. I'm shocking at dancing.
It's like the energy level just went up again, didn't it?
What was quite funny was watching the 50 oldies disappear the moment it started, which was sort of partly the guests,
that was what the client's idea was.
As well.
Just absolutely stunning.
Do you remember that party, Gav? There was a moment of that evening that you and I experienced. Do you remember? What happened on the staircase?
Did we have a kiss?
The steps?
We're not going to talk
kiss.
About it, though.
We didn't kiss.
What did we do?
No, we're not talking about
that
it.
That young man who'd had an unfortunate accident.
Oh, yes. Well, this is the secret world of events. That's probably that one thing we don't want to say. Let's just say a gentleman had an accident. That's probably
really
the easiest way to sort of come across that. Ooh. Simon.
Gosh.
Look at you.
Full bloom.
Yes.
Talk to me. Star of TV.
Yeah.
Only in America.
How did it come around? How did Full Bloom come around?
I had worked, for years, there's been bits and pieces I've done telly. I'm very good at showing off and I'm quite confident with flowers. So dead easy for me to talk on telly about flowers. So I've got a bit of a reputation for doing that. And then I was asked to consider being involved in a Netflix project, which was The Big Flower Fight. And it went on a bit, and in the end, there was talk of me being a host. They decided they wanted American hosts. I was a judge on it. They had guest judges each week. It was fun, but it was just for me. It was a missed opportunity because it wasn't flowery enough. You can still see it now. There's lots of plants involved, not many flowers. And then suddenly, I got a call out of the blue one day. Would I have a Skype call with someone about a floristry competition in America? And I thought, I don't want to be in a floristry competition. I really don't.
Oh, you thought you were going to enter it?
Yes. Anyway, they were asking me if I'd be the host of it, which was hugely flattering. I had two more Skype interviews, and then I was offered the role.
Can I ask you, was it? It was being on Skype. Was it in 1984 or something?
It was before Zoom. It was pre-COVID. It was, and then
we Zoom
didn't know
been
what
around
Zoom was
before COVID.
Pre-COVID, I didn't know what Zoom was.
Well, and you don't know what an iPhone is, do you?
Just.
And Simon, we all know because it's legendary. You royal family and your connections for the Queen.
I've been really lucky. I've worked for the royal family for 25 years, and mainly through the late Lady Elizabeth Hanson, founder and doyen of events, who started Party Planners, and she was the Queen's cousin. And she used to have this extraordinary system where she would audition florists and caterers for future work by asking you to supply flowers for a dinner. And then she would invite various members of her family, quite often the Queen Mother or the late Queen would be there, and they would all critique the food they'd eaten and the flowers in the middle of the table. And depending on whether they liked you or not, you may be offered work in the future.
Amazing.
And I was really lucky because I distinctly remember now the arrangement I created was a basket filled with Margaret Merrill roses, which are really beautiful scented English garden roses. They're one of the very favourite flowers of the late Queen Mother. And so I got the job, didn't I? And so I was then asked
to do... Is that because you did your research?
It was pure luck.
Then
I was asked to do flowers for some of their parties, private and not so private. And it's been a huge, huge privilege.
What was the biggest achievement in terms of like the biggest showcase for the royal wedding? The royalty you did?
I think probably I would... I used to say doing the flowers for his now our king and queen consort's wedding. I would have said that when he was the Princess of Wales, but I would probably...
The Princess of Wales?
Princess of Wales, the Princess of Wales. Sorry, I'm running these teeth in for a friend.
Can I just say, he's never been a princess. He's a prince.
The Prince of Wales, when he married the Duchess of Cornwall.
That's
however...
Better. He's now our king.
I think it's probably on reflection, it's doing the... being asked by the Royal Horticultural Society to create their platinum tribute to the Queen at Chelsea Flower Show in May of this year, because... it was an incredible thing to do. We sort of all knew she was not going to last much longer. And I got to meet her for the final time, which was
fantastic.
Just very special.
Beautiful.
Very special.
Matthew, for yes, you sir. In terms of, we can't talk royalty because you've probably never done anything for any of the royal family.
I have not worked for the UK royal family.
Okay.
But I have worked for royalty.
You have?
On a number of occasions, yes.
Share with us.
Unfortunately, I can't.
NDAs?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about then pop royalty, because yes, that's something that I know everyone would be intrigued about. Tell us some of the sort of celebrities you've been asked to work with and had to bring into some of your events.
So we've worked with a number of high-profile artists, working with Elton John on a number of occasions, Lionel Richie, Robbie Williams, and recently Lady Gaga.
Unbelievable. An unbelievable lineup.
It has been an incredible lineup, and those are the moments that I'm a huge music fan, as you probably know.
Of course.
And those are huge moments for me because they're not necessarily my cup of tea in terms of music, but these are global artists that are, you know, everyone knows, and everyone knows their music so, so well. And when those moments happen in events, those are the moments I think, wow, that, you know, that's something really special. I mean, the Lady Gaga moment in the summer was amazing. It was one of the truly memorable moments, mainly because I had to negotiate with the artist directly on how she would present her first song. And that was, you know, something that I came up with, an idea that I suggested, and had to work it that she felt it was her idea. And it worked, and it was...
But of course, it was her idea, yeah?
Of course.
Of course,
yeah,
absolutely.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
No influence at all.
None at all. And when it happened, it was hugely successful. It was really a very, very special moment.
The beautiful thing, and almost the shame of these things is, and quite rightly, nobody gets to see this stuff apart from the family.
Yeah.
But obviously, we've viewed the footage,
yeah,
and it's incredible. That performance.
Spine tingling. It's actually spine tingling.
Yeah.
When she came on, it was an incredible moment, because as I said, it was something that we choreographed pre-event, and then she performed longer than she'd been contracted to. She went about 25 minutes over what she was contracted to do, and it was an incredible performance. And it was something where the clients and I had to really trust what we were being told, so much so that two or three weeks beforehand I'd had a quite heated conversation with the client about the show, and I had to reassure them and saying this is a global artist that is super, super, super talented. And no one really realizes when you see an artist like that how talented they really, really are. They have really served their dues. They've worked for so many years in certain clubs and, you know, arenas, and they've gone to world-renowned rock stadiums and you know, played in front of hundreds of
thousands
of people.
They've earned the right to charge the money they do.
It's not the money. It's the what I'm trying to say is the trust that you have to put into that.
Yeah.
If you've booked that artist, you don't need to control it.
So interestingly, I came in with no preconceived perception of what that show would look like, and I was blown away with how different in my head it perhaps could have been, because the stripped back set, the sort of atmosphere she created was
it was a wonderful, amazing. Wonderful moment. You know, what was amazing was the first tinkling of the piano that she played was the guest's reaction. You know, everyone's phone was out, and it was just amazing. You know, the big gasp.
It was a fabulous shot, actually, for the back of the room. All you want to see is Gaga on stage, and what you've got is 250 people all holding
phones.
But actually, it makes for a great shot, because we've got the shots of Gaga. We know we're going to get that, but to have the phones and then focusing on the phones was a beautiful
and Matthew,
shot.
Matthew, you're always Mr. Uber cool. You never ever get thrown by anything, but were you just a teeny weeny bit excited to meet Lady Gaga?
No.
Liar. Such a liar.
Honestly, genuinely, I wasn't.
Who would make you excited to meet them, apart from myself?
Well, I've got some musical heroes that I would be very excited to have met, but I would always remain cool, always, because I just, that's me.
What, you're cool?
Yeah, I'm very
cool. I've known you since you were four. You weren't always cool.
No, outwardly I am.
Outward, all right, okay, all right. One of the questions I'm asking everybody who comes and joins this season of the podcast.
I thought we were exclusive. Did you not?
I'm exclusive. Let's go.
You're exclusive to this hour I've got you. Your top three tips for anybody who's looking at planning an event for themselves coming up, what advice would you give to people?
I wish you had asked this question pre-show, because then I could have had a think about it. But so you are now asking me off the cuff the top three tips. Call me. Call Simon.
Okay.
And call Gavin.
There you go. I'll take that. Simon, is there one rule you sort of live by in your business?
I think it is make broad brushstrokes and be bold with events, because there's no point trying to spread a budget to do little tiddly biddly bits here, there and everywhere. Make one F-off statement and make it well.
I agree. I think that's a really good... I like the idea of a bold statement. I think there's no point doing an event and being boring. I recently held my own son's bar mitzvah, which you were a guest.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately,
fabulous.
Simon turned us down. He couldn't make it that night. But it was something that I wanted to do for him. But, you know, as my wife said, it was a bar mitzvah for me, really.
Well, it's not what you would expect that a party planner would throw for his son.
No. And that's what I... But
which was great.
The thing is, it was, you know, it was an intimate party. It was only 80 or so people. And I just wanted to do something where everyone would feel comfortable and knowing that it was a fun evening, which was really important. But that goes back to the bold thing that Simon said, is there was something at that party that was particularly big and bold, and it made it stand out, in my view.
We get some questions in from Instagram, which I'm going to throw at both of you. Let's have a little look on the screens. From Arsene Curation, the band are offering to do production, and so is my planner. Who should I use?
Well, there are levels of production that should be considered here, because, I mean, it very much depends on an overall aesthetic and budget. That's quite an important thing to bear in mind. And sometimes the band will have a standard production that they offer. It's not necessarily the right thing for your event.
Moving on for Kelly Louise. Simon, what's the biggest job you've done?
Oh, that would probably be, I was lucky enough to do the flowers for Jim Henson's memorial service. He's the man that created the Muppets.
Of course.
And as a result of doing that, I ended up doing the flowers on Four Weddings and a Funeral. And as a result of that, I then got a bit of a reputation.
You did the flowers for the funeral of Jim Henson.
Yes.
That is amazing.
How?
I had done some work. I used to do flowers for TV commercials, and I did a lawnmower commercial for Flymo, and it was called The Garden Lends a Hand, and they had all these amazing animated creatures and plants that were all done by Hensons. So I got to know the team quite well, and it was at the time they were filming a Muppet Christmas Carol, and they were on the next set. So we used to go, and I would spend my lunch hour looking at all those sets. And so when he died, I was asked to do the decor.
Unbelievable.
And it was in St. Paul's Cathedral, and we had Big Bird walk down the aisle, and we turfed it and had foxgloves and park benches, because he used to live on Haverstock Hill and walk on Hampstead Heath with his wife every day.
That's amazing. What an amazing story.
Yeah.
Never heard that from you.
That's fantastic.
I've always got a surprise up my sleeve.
One thing about Simon, though, if you go with Simon on a recce, never let him direct you. Just putting it out there, if you ever get the opportunity to go with Simon, particularly abroad,
where you get lost,
you never find where you're going. That's all I can say.
Simon, what's he on about?
Venice?
Oh, no, yeah, quite. But also, never let Matthew do the timekeeping, because we ended up having to do a diversion into a shop in Paris and missed our train home, which was very annoying.
I needed a new ski jacket.
There you go.
Not that I ever go skiing.
Is it more cost effective to have a wedding abroad? This is a question that a lot of people throw at me, funnily enough, when they're talking around events and they say, oh, I'm thinking about having the wedding abroad because I heard it's so much cheaper. I
mean, the answer is no.
It can't be, can it?
Absolutely not. The costs of doing things in Europe, for example, are so high now. Obviously, when the pound was great against the euro, you know, at 180 at the time, many, many years ago, was very effective. But now, it being 1-to-1 almost, absolutely not. And in fact, I would say it would cost you more.
Because I would imagine, and the funny thing is, when I see these events take place, what they do is they bring all the suppliers, the band, from the UK out to their function. So you've got transport, hotels, catering.
Generally, no. Sorry to interrupt, but I don't think that's as much of a case anymore. I mean, I've very lucky to have worked a lot abroad, as with Simon, and we tend to use local suppliers now. But the costs of the local suppliers is extraordinary. So much so. I mean, I have considered pre-Brexit. We have actually done events where we have brought the whole production from the UK because it was cheaper. But it's not anymore. It's definitely not a way to go about it.
Okay. Next up, what's the average cost of a wedding these days? That's too broad, isn't it?
It depends
on your budget as well.
It also depends on what audience you're aiming at. I mean, you can have a wedding. You don't have to spend £10,000. It depends.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't answer that, Joanna.
Sorry.
Whoever you are.
Do disasters happen at an event? And if so, how do you cope?
They always happen.
Always happen. I had an event not too far from where we're sitting today, where unfortunately a marquee many, many years ago actually collapsed. Part of the marquee collapsed. The thing to do is not panic. You have to not panic and you have to adapt. And actually, the people that we work with, the catering teams that we work with in particular on that day, all stood up and just dealt with it. It's just an incredible... The one thing about our industry is a family. It really is a family. Mm. And the other thing is that we always... Everyone that I work with always wants the best for the clients. None of us want anything to go wrong for them. You know, we've spent a lot of time. They've spent a lot of money. They've invested their time as well. They've put that trust in all of us. And none of us want anything to go bad for them. We want it all to be perfect. So if an event happens to have anything go wrong on the day, then it's all hands at deck and no panic.
I can't reiterate how important that is when you say family, because when we all turn up on a job,
it's family.
And everybody knows each other and you're all putting together for the one goal, which is your joint client, it's pretty special.
It is very special. I really believe that. And I do try to surround myself with teams that we work with regularly. Because I think we get the best out of everybody that way.
Absolutely. What's your favourite thing about being an event planner, Matthew?
That is a really hard question to answer. I think my favourite thing, I can answer that actually, is the planning. It's the relationship building with the clients. They've become friends. And they're sometimes friends for life. You know, they come and go out of my life. You know, they do an event and you won't hear from them again till the next event. But there's some of them are really, you know, we have great memories.
Simon, for you, the greatest part of events for you?
I think it's the fact that I can never stop coming up with ridiculous ideas and someone will help me facilitate them. I love that.
Just feeding your need.
Yes, yes. These ridiculous parties I have in my head every day.
Fantastic.
They become reality.
Simon, how much did you love filming the full
I'm a big old show-off. I love a camera. I love a wardrobe and hair and makeup team attending to my every need.
I wonder why.
I loved it. I loved it.
2 seasons you've done?
We've done 2 seasons, yes.
Plans for a third?
At the moment, it's really challenging. And you'll notice there are no homes down under. There are no programs where there is a sequential filming of a large group of people, because as those numbers diminish and as they get into episodes 4, 5, and 6, if one of them then gets COVID, you don't have a program.
Yeah.
So you can't get insurance for any of these programs at the moment. And there's a lot at stake. They cost millions to make. So at the moment, no sequential programs with large numbers of people will be made.
Yeah, you filmed the first season in
in full lockdown. Everyone keeps saying to me, what's it like in LA? And I said, I don't know. I've only ever been there in COVID or in a COVID bubble. When I flew out to LA, there were 11 of us on the plane.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you weren't sitting at the back, were you?
No.
Where's the best location you've worked abroad and why? Simon, do you want to go with that one?
Venice. Just because I love Venice anyway, so any excuse to go out to Venice. We probably need at least 3 recces before we'd go on the job. And I know all the good restaurants.
You can't find them.
I can't find them, but I've got the man sitting next to me who's got a really good handy boat driver who's quite handsome as well. So it does help.
Yeah, Fancy day. For you, Matthew?
I would say... Oh,
Paris, so you can go to the Moncler shop on the way to the station.
Not now, because there's
Greece. The Amenzo is pretty special.
I did love the Amenzo, but I hated the transfer between Athens and the Amenzo. It was horrific. 3 hours by car.
Wasn't so bad going back, though, was it?
Wasn't bad going back. I would say I really, really love Italy.
Italy.
I love Italy. Yeah, I'm a massive Italian fan. I love the food. I love the locations. I just think it's beautiful.
Last question. How much time would you ideally like to plan someone's wedding?
I can do that relatively quickly. So if I'm going to tell you a story many, many years ago where I was asked to plan a wedding in less than 2 months because of the bride's father was unfortunately dying. And we planned the event and thank God he saw his daughter get married.
Gents, it's been an absolute pleasure having you us for a dream event on the Secret World of Events. Fabulous to have you. If you haven't done so already, please do subscribe to the channel. It's great to have everybody pressing the button. And don't forget to give us a like and a share as well. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Secret World of Events. Great to have you here.
I had decided I wanted to get into events.
Don't rush into anything.
Left university and pretty much went straight into it.
It's just got to happen. So do what you need to make it happen.
I've never been one to follow rules.
We've spent a lot of time together, haven't
yes,
we?
Yes, we have.
Always keeping up with trends and fads.
How do you manage that? The expectations versus the reality of budgeting?
It's always insightful to get a gauge as to what their reference point is with budget.
Pre-COVID, I didn't know what Zoom was.
You know, everything is done to a higher level.
That detail Jeremy and the band and the guys will go into, by definition, makes our life easier.
There's levels and levels, and that comes in the detail.